fine, fine.
Okay, so I'm Christian Horn. I'm from Part Time Fanboy, and I'm here with Douglas Sned.
Sned.
I keep mispronouncing your name. I apologize. I'm actually not used to speaking like at a booth, so I'm behind the scenes at your booth today. Right. But thank you for sitting with me.
That's
I appreciate
right.
you taking the time. So I guess part of my what I'm interested in is, how did you start studying cartooning? Like, how did you discover, you know, art? Like, have you always drawn since you were little?
Yeah, I can remember doing artwork in kindergarten, for instance, for the teacher. And she'd put a pad of paper up on an easel at the front of the class, and I'd do circuses and things like that. And then when I was in high school, my parents had seven children, and they couldn't afford to send me to the Ontario College of Art.
Okay.
So they bought the famous artist course for me. And that was a wonderful thing in those days, you know.
What was that? You could buy something?
Stephen DeJanos and guys like that, Ben Stahl, put it together, about a dozen of them, for people like me. And so you'd get lessons, and I'd drop the stuff that they asked me to do and send it to them, and then they send it back.
Oh, so it was like a correspondence course?
It was a correspondence course.
Oh, wow.
The famous artist course. But trouble was, when I got three-quarters of the way through, there was one dealing with earning while you learn. So I went out on my own and started doing murals, and eventually bought myself a little car, and traveled all over across a good part of Canada doing this work.
In
taverns and industrial establishments, you know, just about anywhere I could turn a buck.
And so was your style the same, or was it different then?
No. I was of the Norman Rockwell school, you might say, in those days.
Okay.
And realism was rather important. Then I got a job in Montreal in a studio there. It was the largest. It was Rapid Grip and Batten. It was the largest studio of its kind in North America. They had over 50 artists. And I started out there as a junior illustrator, but mainly a go-boy. But I got to look over the shoulders of all these chaps. And they all weren't illustrators. There were only a few were. Most of them were layout people and graphics people and letterers and so on.
So you were learning in the trenches, kind of?
That's right.
That's
a great place. I spent about a year and a half there in Montreal, and then I came to Toronto. I was making $19 a week in Montreal.
Was that good back then, or?
No.
No, it doesn't sound good.
I was living as a boarder in a fraternity.
Okay.
And then after I left there, I got a job for $50 a week.
Oh, wow.
In Toronto, to a small studio there.
Okay.
And there were only half a dozen of them.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was good training because I did a lot of wash drawing. And which is basically what I do now.
Yeah.
But in those days, I was doing things I hated to do, like toasters and blankets and washing machines that went on the back of the big dailies in Toronto. Big department stores.
Oh, okay.
So I learned an awful lot about wash drawing in those days.
Sure.
From that.
What did you like illustrating back then that you were not? I mean, you had said.
Well,
like,
I started doing textbook illustrating.
Yeah.
And I think my work has appeared in about 60 different textbooks.
Oh, wow.
In one way or another. Either the full book or just part of it. And so then I went freelance as soon as I got my first big a job. And I've been a freelance ever since.
Oh, wow.
But I was also doing illustrations for magazines.
Yeah.
And in those days, it was a dream world for guys like me. One magazine, Weekend Magazine out of Montreal, that was distributed to papers all across Canada on the weekend would ask me to come up with an idea that could be illustrated over 3 pages or 4 pages. Like a day at the beach.
Yeah.
Or a toga party in a fraternity.
That's it? And you needed to come up with 3 pages, like, based on that description?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Start off with a double-page spread of a day at the beach, and then little vignettes throughout for the next couple of pages.
Oh, wow.
With captions underneath and a little story describing it. And another one was Life in the Day of the Mennonites, you see. And so that was wonderful, and that's when I started doing this really loose style that I do now. And what with the wash drawings with Dr. P.H. Martin Sandlin and Dyes. And that was a good thing to happen to me.
Sure.
And that eventually got me to Playboy.
Gotcha. So, but you were doing political cartoons at one point as well?
Yes, or? I did. For a number of years, I did something called Doug Sneed on the World News page of Canada's largest daily, and it was about 2 column wide, 5 days a week.
Wow.
And that went on for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a challenge because I had to have a gag line caption.
Yeah.
You see. Then I developed a feature called Scoops, which I took on the road and self-syndicated it. I traveled to 90 cities in 60 days. This was in the early 80s.
Okay.
And so I've had an awful lot of work done for newspapers over the years.
Oh, wow. That's great. And so what brings you to Playboy? Like, how did you...
Well, this happened around 1963, 64. My first cartoon appeared in 64. And I just... I was down in Chicago for another purpose. I can't remember what. But I decided at the last minute to take along this stuff that I've been doing for Weekend Magazine and the Toronto Star, illustrations. And it was much looser than the style I do now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was Dr. Martin's watercolors, you see. And I went to see the art director, got right up to see him. He liked it very much.
Yeah.
And he said, I'd like you to do be a cartoonist.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't think that was my bag. And my cup of tea, I said. And he told me what they paid, and I said, that's my cup of tea.
Nice.
So I've been doing them ever since.
So you think that that meeting kind of, like, influenced the rest of your life?
Oh, yes. Because when you're a freelancer in this business, you never know where your next job's coming from.
Sure.
Fortunately, I up until that time had been quite busy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I met a chap at one of these shows, and he was telling me that he does comics, you know.
Sure.
And he'll get a contract, and when the contract is done,
yeah,
it's pull my hair out time.
Sure, sure.
Said.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's coming next. The good thing about being with Playboy is I always had half a dozen gags that have been approved by Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
So they're always there, and if I got a commercial job or anything, I could drop that and do the commercial job.
Okay.
Or portraits or whatever.
So you're also doing commercial jobs outside of Playboy?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Playboy wasn't
yeah.
the only thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I kept doing other stuff, too.
Oh, really?
But as long as I had a bank of finishes in Chicago, Playboy was happy. And I think they still have a good bank of my stuff.
Yeah. You know. So back then, I guess, a question I wanted to ask you, because, you know, obviously Playboy was a bit of a, I mean, it's always been a little bit, for lack of a better description, racy magazine.
Yeah.
Were you concerned at all, like, showing
no,
up?
No.
Or like?
I could never understand what all the fuss was about.
Okay.
Some of these shows, you know, they'll have nipple police come around and they've got to cover it up.
Yeah.
Some of the people still do them here. And I wonder, what's the big fuss about all this stuff?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So even back then, you weren't concerned at all?
Oh,
or like,
no.
And no family members or anybody ever gave you a hard time or anything?
No. We always had a Playboy, the current Playboy, on the coffee table. And I've got four children. They were brought up with it. I could never see why some people would get sort of caught up and full of angst about humor dealing with sex. Where would we be without it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Either one.
This is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Where people in Africa and other cultures go around half naked all the time and don't think it's about as common a bare breast as an ankle.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Oh, wow. So, I mean, I think that's really fantastic that you were not, or nobody ever gave you a hard time, like, when you started or anything like that.
No.
Because it seems like it would have been controversial, but no?
No.
Wow.
No, my mother used to cut them out and show them to her bridge club. You know?
You've got a really good family then. That's fantastic.
Yeah. They were always big on humor in my family.
So, through the years, like, what has been sort of the biggest thing that's maybe changed as far as like Playboy or your work throughout the industry? I mean, like, what have you seen like as the biggest drastic?
Well, I started out as an illustrator, and one of the big things is that happened shortly after I got into my 20s and 30s, they stopped buying illustrations for fiction magazine.
Oh, okay.
You see, for fiction stories. And so a lot of illustrators had to kick into another gear.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So did you ever kind of, because you said maybe like you resisted cartooning a little bit, or the gentleman said, like, I want you to be a cartoonist.
Well, I never thought of myself as a cartoonist.
Yeah.
All my other stuff came after that. That was the newspaper stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so on.
So from then on in, you were okay with it? Like, you just shifted gears and with making that change?
The big challenge for artists of any age, of any time, is how do you turn it into an income that will support you and your family?
Gotcha.
You know, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So, most of the people in here, there are a lot of brilliant artists here, absolutely brilliant. And they've certainly found out how to make their talent pay.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you turn talent into income?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems like you've been cranking them out ever since. I mean, is there any sort of milestone, like, in your career with Playboy that you can think of, or anything that's really stood out to you that's just made you really proud? Or a particular strip or anything? Or?
No, not really. It's been pretty consistent for me.
Yeah.
I just can't believe 50 years have gone by with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. I finally hit 50 years and well over 450 cartoons.
Wow. That's amazing.
But it's been good for me. Playboy's been awfully good.
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner, I'm very grateful to them.
Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, your work is absolutely gorgeous. I've been a fan for a long time.
Thank you.
It seems like you've got a lot of your... Do you sell these online at all, or like originals?
Heidi has a blog.
Uh-huh.
What's your blog, Heidi?
DougSnade.blogspot.com. Okay. He also has a premium gallery on comic art fans.
Okay, on comic art fans. And that's where people can purchase originals if they're
that's
not
right.
at a con?
That's right.
Okay. And is this the only convention that you do?
No, we'll do 10 others this year.
Oh, wow.
We'll have done that.
So you're trying...
We've still got to go to Toronto and Indianapolis, is it?
We started at Emerald City in Seattle. We were also at MegaCon in Orlando. Then we did the Dallas Comic Con. Uh-huh. And all of these, he was a featured guest.
Yeah.
As well as a featured guest at Wizard World Philadelphia.
Okay.
The Florida Super Con in Miami.
Uh-huh.
Of course, here. And then after Fan Expo Canada in Toronto, the end of August, we will be going to Atlanta for Dragon Con.
Oh, wow.
And then on to Cincinnati. So the season will close with Cincinnati.
Oh, wow. So you guys are busy.
Yeah.
How do you find time to actually work?
Heidi has a nice condominium down on the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, okay.
In a little place called Orange Beach, Alabama.
Okay.
So I have a studio set up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I live in Arroyo, about 80 miles north of Toronto.
Okay.
And I have a home on Lake Coochiching in this little town.
Gotcha.
Arroyo. And so we spend half a year down there and half a year up in Canada in the summer, you see.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
So she gets me away from the snow and ice, and I get her away from the hurricane.
Nice. That's great.
And it's quite a symbiotic relationship.
So is there anything in your career that you feel like you haven't done or you still want to do, like outside of maybe Playboy or just...
No, I'm pretty well happy with the way things are done. I've got no complaints.
Oh, that's so great.
I'm semi-retired now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing nearly the other stuff that I used to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I mean, you seem like really content and you obviously deserve
it. Heidi, you see.
Yeah.
How could you be more content than that?
Well, I wish the people listening could really see these originals because yeah. I've never seen your originals, and they're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
I have to say, like, your art has always been breathtaking. I mean, my family was a little more conservative than yours, so I would always have to sneak, you know, the Playboys and stuff like that when I was younger. But I remember always coming across your artwork and thinking it was just beautiful and fantastic. And I really do think that you're, like, one of the greats here at the con.
Thank you. I've always enjoyed knowing that every month a lot of people are going to get a big chuckle out of what I do.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever gotten a fan letter from somebody that really stuck out to you that you were just blown away by? Like, I can't believe that this person...
Well, we do see a lot of that. I can't think of one in particular.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, wow.
But they're good. And we see a lot of them here.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of them come every year, you know, and they'll buy stuff. And they're collectors.
Sure. And just, I guess, one last question. What would be your advice to anybody looking to get into a career of cartooning or illustration or anything like that?
Well, I get that question a lot from young people, and I tell them, be different.
Be different.
There are not a lot of people here doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And unless you're on the top rung in that kind of talent,
yeah,
you're not going to do very well.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So... all the old rules apply, you know. When you do something, make it look like you meant it.
Yeah.
Work from big to small.
Uh-huh.
And you only learn to draw by drawing.
Oh, wow. That's great. And do you still illustrate for models at all or do any of that stuff?
No, not really. I did a show of something in London last year where they had in this comic store... a model come,
uh-huh.
And she did. She had different costumes and different poses, and they limited the number of artists who would come to the show to 24, I think.
Okay.
And they were mainly professional people.
Gotcha.
So I drew her, and they drew her, and then I'd go around and critique their work. And so,
gotcha.
It was quite nice.
And are there, last question, because I've kept you for a little while, are there any artists that you really are blown away by these days? Like, who are some of your favorites?
Oh, golly, I could name half a dozen or a dozen of them here. They're all great.
But do you have one favorite or somebody that inspired you the most growing up or anything?
Not really, because when I came here, I started doing this 7 years ago, it was all new to me, this whole shtick here.
Comic-Con.
Yeah, Comic-Con. I never knew it existed. Although I went to one in Toronto years ago when it was just getting started.
Yeah.
And they were just two rooms in a hotel.
Yeah.
And I never went back. But now it's really taken off. And there are a lot of people here who are extremely talented.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, you are one of them, and I really appreciate you just taking this time, sitting down with me. I'm a fan, and I hope you have a really great time at the convention, or have been having a great time.
Yeah, it's been good.
Great, great. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it. Thank okay. you, sir. It's a You're pleasure welcome. To meet you.
Hard Time Sad Boy.